So here's something new. I want to talk about Jesus today. Isn't that something? Who'd have thunk that you'd talk about Jesus in church? So I'm always innovating, always trying something new, and here we go. In fact, talking about Jesus is at the heart of our new sermon series, and it's the series that you see up here, Life Oven with Jesus. Now, those of you who haven't been here should know that that title sort of contains a wordplay, because this series is about the life of Jesus and the life with Jesus. So, life of and with Jesus, life oven with Jesus. It gets sweet every week, right? Every time you hear that explanation, you just can't stop chuckling. I want to make a simple observation about Jesus today, and then I want to use that observation to make an observation or some suggestions about our own personal lives. The simple observation about Jesus is, and this won't surprise you, he spent a lot of time with his disciples. Okay? Disciples, the word disciple means a student, it means follower, and Jesus called, appointed, recruited 12 disciples, 12 followers, and he spent a lot of time with them. In no particular order, here are some of the things that he did, some of the occasions that he shared with his disciples. He took them on preaching tours. They were with him when he performed most of his healings and miracles. He ate with them. He rode in boats with them. He walked on water past them when they were in the boat. He was with them in the boat when the storm came up and took their fear away. He took a couple of them up on the mountain when Jesus met Moses and Elijah, a scene that some people call the Transfiguration. It was just a remarkable scene. And then there were more disciples waiting for them at the bottom of the mountain when he came off the mountain, having met those Old Testament figures. He made sure they were with him for what we call the Last Supper. And he took some of them with him to the Garden of Gethsemane when he was on the night he was betrayed and just before his arrest, which led to his crucifixion. Okay, you get my point? He spent a lot of time with them. Everywhere he went, basically, he spent time with his disciples. Why? Well, we get a pretty good clue of why he spent so much time with his disciples with these verses from Mark 9. Leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and, you see it, teach them. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his 7 enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead." They didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. He spent a lot of time with them because he wanted to teach them. Or to use the language that's sort of more popular today in the vernacular of the day, Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples because he wanted to pour into them. Okay? You may have heard that language. It's a very powerful language. He wanted to pour into them. He wanted to pour in his knowledge, his spirituality, his commitment to God. He wanted to pour into them so that after he left them, they could pour into others. Right? If you're a pitcher and I fill you up, then you have something to pour into somebody else's pitcher, right? That's pouring into. Right? All right. The specific reason he spent so much time with his disciples is not really my concern today. You're welcome to pursue it if you want. The fact that he spent so much time with them is my concern today. Because his practice is a powerful reminder for us, of our need for friends of faith. People who share the road with us for spiritual and personal support. People who understand what it means to believe. People who understand what it means to be connected to a Savior. Friends of faith. The other night we had our monthly Helmets of Hope team meeting. And it's a busy time because, you know, Helmets is a very vibrant ministry. We do a lot of things. You saw the screen up there. And we have a lot of laundry detergent yet to drop. So we have a lot of work to do, right? But the interesting thing about it, or the important thing about it, one of the most important things about the meeting, at least for me, wasn't all the work we did and all the decisions and the plans we made and all the fundraisers we talked about, for example. But it was the community. Okay, the people on the ministry team, and you're welcome to join us at any time, the people on the ministry team were just nice people. They're good people. Most of them. We enjoy each other's company. We laugh with each other. We laugh at each other. We snark at each other. We enjoy the ride. Right? It's a great experience, not only dealing with the Helmets of Hope ministry, not only sort of focusing and planning our congregation's reach outreach to area veterans, but just spending time. Just sitting around the table enjoying each other's company. Okay? That's such an important, necessary part of the team experience. So, last night we held our annual multicultural potluck. 17 people shared food from, I counted like 5 different cultures, maybe there's more. English, French, Italian, Chinese, Mexican. Can you think of anything else, anybody? You were there? Okay, so we had a really nice turnout. It was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. But more important than the food was the company. It was good people, kind people, loving people, God's people, sitting around tables, enjoying each other's company, right? Okay, there was something more valuable than the potluck itself or even the cultures represented by the foods that we prepared. It was the company. And each day's news reminds us that the world is a crazy place. And as that happens, as events unfold, as surprises erupt, all in chaotic fashion, there's no way to predict what insanity is going to be unleashed on any given day. And I don't care what your politics is, I bet you believe that. I bet you agree with that. It's just a crazy time in the world these days. Having friends of faith is a cushion against that craziness. It's not protection against it. You can't get up in the morning and not expect that something weird is going to happen. But having set aside times when you can listen to each other, care about each other, pray for each other, connect to each other, believe in each other, hang on to each other, when you can escape the stress of health concerns or financial challenges or family dysfunction, boy, oh boy, the madness of the evening news, it's all a gift from heaven. Okay, we're talking about the power of friends of faith. Okay, we're talking about spending time, intentional time, with people who share the spiritual road with us. So look at this from James 5, and listen to the connection that this verse assumes exists between fellow believers. Okay, this is from James 5. Confess your sins to each other. You wouldn't do that unless you're connected, right? You don't go around just confessing to anybody you see on the street. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Confess to each other. Pray for each other. Stay connected to each other. My word to you today, no, my word to us today, is very simple. Find faith friends. It's kind of hard to say. Faith friends. Friends of faith. Find them and stick to them. Please notice, though, when I talk about faith friends, I'm not talking about the experience or the act of sitting in worship. Okay? When you're sitting here, you're not connecting with a bunch of people. You're not sharing the road. I don't know what you're doing. You'll have to confess to that later. But you're not focusing on each other. Right? There's no connection going on here. You're paying attention to the screen, or you're paying attention to the flyer, or you're paying attention to your phone, or whatever it is you're doing, right? I'm talking about what happens in the lobby before worship. I'm talking about what happens in the parking lot after worship. Many of you may not have noticed that we stopped pushing announcements to the screen before worship and after worship. You know why we did that? because nobody was paying attention to them. Everybody's out there talking, jabbering. I mean, I put a slide in the announcement roll for 4 straight weeks that said, if you see this, tell Bill and you'll get a special shout out. No one even noticed because no one ever saw it. No one was in here to look at the announcement roll. So after 4 weeks, I just took it out and no one noticed that either. When we're in here, that's really good, but there's not a lot of chance for interaction, right? There's not a lot of chance for connection. There's not a lot of chance for interplay and for depending and relying on each other, for checking in with each other. In here, our attention is always, or at least ought to be always, sort of focused elsewhere. It ought to be focused on heaven, you know, focused in the company of the saints. It's important stuff, but it's not spending time with friends. So here's the question. Whom do you spend your time with? Okay, it's sort of just as a rhetorical question, but think about do a little inventory. Do a little listing of the people you spend time with. What groups or other connections do you have set up in your life with people who know Jesus, who know that God is in control, who knows there is something greater than the chaos to which we have become so accustomed, who know that the craziness of everyday life will not have the last word. Whom do you connect with in your life? Who's on your chart? Your Rolodex. There's an old word. Chaos may have every word before the last word, but it will not have the last word. Whom do you regularly connect with? Whom do you regularly meet with to give you support, to give you encouragement, also so that you can encourage and support them? Right? Those are friends of faith. I'm not talking about your bowling boat buddies, and those are great people to have. I'm not talking about your golfing partners, and those are great people to have. I'm talking about your friends of faith. Who do you have in your life who pours into you regularly and whom you pour into regularly as a partner in faith? Now, again, I'm not talking about your friends writ large. I'm talking about your friends of faith, about the people who may not agree with your politics, and there's about a 50% chance that the next person you talk to is not going to agree with your politics. But they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they believe that this life ain't the only life. People who see the world for what it is, a broken, wounded, hurting community of people who are loved by God, a God who will not let them go. Jesus spent a lot of time with his friends to support them, to teach them, to encourage them, to pour into them. But he also spent time with them to get their encouragement. You know the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. He was troubled and he was, boy, sweating up a storm. And it was just before his arrest and he was troubled. And he was crying out to God. And whom did he take with him to the garden? A couple of friends. Now, they happened to fall asleep while he was out there praying, and so they weren't the best of friends. But whom did he take? He took his friends of faith. Who are the friends of faith in your life, and whose friend of faith are you? Right? This year, may we be a church that worships together. This is really important what we do in here. I'm glad you're here. Do it again. May we be a church that worships together, prays together, sings together, serves together, but also a church of people who spend time together as friends. Friends of faith. Okay? People who stay connected to each other, who care about each other, who are wrapped up in each other's lives. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in John 15. I no longer call you slaves because his master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything that the Father has told me. Hear that? Since I have poured into you Because I have poured into you what I know and who I am and who God is, I now call you friends. I don't call you servants. I don't call you slaves. I call you friends because I confide in you. I pour into you this year. Make sure you stay connected to your friends of faith. Let's pray. God, what an encouraging time it can be when we remember that you brought us into this world to stay connected. We are not alone. Sometimes we're isolated. Sometimes we're sort of cut off. Maybe we do that or others do that to us, but we're not meant to be alone. We are meant to be connected. We are meant to be a community. We are meant to be a body. We are meant to be people who pour into each other, who receive from each other, to give and receive and to build each other up, to encourage each other in the struggle, in the challenge of life. And it's such an encouragement to know that that's the way you set us up. The foot needs the hand, and the ear needs the kneecap, and everybody needs each other. And this is the body that you have called us to be. May this word today remind us that we are not only people who sit in the same room on Sunday mornings at 10:30, we are friends of faith, people who know your Son, who believe in you, and who believe that you, not this crazy place we call home, will have the last word. We're so grateful for your promise. We're so grateful for your concern and your commitment to us. We don't deserve it, but we welcome it and receive it in Jesus' name, God's people say. Amen.